No, we took a week off last week.
Yeah. Well, did we take a week off or were we doing stuff?
Yeah. So we didn't take a week off. We just didn't get the opportunity to tape a new podcast episode, which rarely happens. I want you guys to know that we make it our business to be able to get an episode taped every single week. So, you know, this is rare for us.
Yeah.
But it should also speak to the fact that we must have something going on that occupied all of our time last week that we didn't get the opportunity to take.
Yeah, we should talk about that for sure. But we got to apologize to our adoring fans.
Adoring fans.
Okay.
I don't know if we're there yet. I don't know if we're at adoring.
You know, folks were like completely at a loss.
Nobody
for what
to was do. At a loss. It's warmer outside. Unless you were in the Northeast, because it was just like cold, super cold, hot, snowy. But we're in April now. April is upon us.
Yeah, it really is.
And so that means for all intents and purposes, yeah. Tiffany's outside.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're about to be outside.
I'm outside.
I already know.
I'm outside all spring and summer.
Oh my gosh.
My calendar is thick.
Yeah?
It is thick.
Frequent flyer miles getting used up and accumulated?
All the things. It's all the things. I'm doing all the activities, all the trips. I went through my calendar with my best friend over the weekend just to make sure she's aligned with all the foolishness that will take place.
I'm aligned too. Just
you're
so you
not.
Know,
just no, it's not.
Text me.
No, it's only
for some reason a calendar
two,
request.
It's only two
all
of
hit
us.
My calendar.
Two at a time.
Okay, just
no.
Holler at me. I'm in there. So
except when you're not.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about what we were doing last week, and we're going to try to give a little bit of advice on how to do it right.
A little bit, right? Yeah. Just a little bit. I think we tend to give advice fairly regularly.
Yep.
And this is no different. And we also always share our experiences, our business experiences, our professional experiences, and our personal experiences.
Absolutely. So today's topic is fly or fly trap.
Have you ever seen a fly trap? Like a Venus fly trap in real time and like in real life?
I've seen a movie of it.
Yeah, I've never
seen
one in person.
A photograph.
I've seen like a National Geographic video or on TV. I've never seen one in person.
No, well, I've seen what's that? The movie? What's the movie?
I remember the movie.
Feed Me, Seymour.
Oh, you're talking about Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah, I've seen that.
With Pam and Gina. That's not their real names. But
yeah.
I love Little Shop of Horrors.
So in investing world, they call it a value trap. When you buy a business or a stock that looks really cheap, and it's cheap for a reason, and it turns out to be a trap.
Here's the thing. A lot of people love buying things on sale or things that just look affordable or things that are cheap just because. Like, no validity behind it, no insight. Just like, girl, it's on sale. Like, but girl, it might not be your size or it might not look good on you or you might not have anywhere to wear it. It might not just be relevant to you. I do think people fall into the trap or fly trap of buying things based off of a low price,
yeah,
not being mindful of the future implications of what's to come.
That's a fact. Let me tell you a funny story. So I used to work at Aerosol Shoe Store in the mall back
okay.
in the day.
All right.
In college.
Comfortable shoes.
I worked at Merrill Lynch during the day. At night, I worked at the mall. Right?
Did they have any men's aerosols? Did aerosols
Yeah, they have men's.
Did you own a pair?
You damn right I owned a pair.
Really?
Those were affordable, comfortable mall-based shoes. Yes.
You wore them like to school? Like around people or like in the house? Or only at work?
Because
I worked at Foot Locker, so that was different.
Yeah, aerosol shoes were like for church, for like, yeah, they were
dressier. I just
want
to know if you was going to the club in the aerosol
yeah,
shoes.
Yeah, nah. Back then I was wearing Nikes every day.
Okay.
So, no.
Okay.
Mm-mm. So I worked at the shoe store, and there was a clearance rack, and there were a pair of shoes. They were like a size 12, and they were like 70% off. And this dude comes in, he's like, hey, let me get these in a size 10. I'm like, dude, all we have is the 12s you see in the window, my man. So he's like, all right, let me try them on. And he puts on a size 12, knowing he's a size 10. And he's like looking in the mirror. He's walking back and forth. My man is really looking like a cartoon character with oversized feet, like Mickey Mouse or Ronald.
I thought you were about to say Ronald Reagan. I was about to say, where are you going?
Ronald McDonald with the big feet. Mm-hmm. And he turns to me. He's like, yo, should I do it? And I worked on commission. So I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I get paid if he buys them, but then
but
I'm
you
like,
also get paid. You also get deducted. I know at Foot Locker we did if somebody brings it back. Yeah. There's no way these shoes are going to survive.
I looked at him, man, and I said, nah, man, you good can't job. Buy those big good ass job. Shoes. So that was a fly trap. Like, he would have bought those shoes, they would have been crazy uncomfortable, and it wasn't worth the money. So the thing that's going on in investing world right now is that a lot of stocks are down. And that's enticing a lot of folks into the market, enticing folks to buy. And we're all for buying stuff that's cheap. But when we say cheap, we want to buy stuff that has value that we think is going to go up in the future.
Correct.
And so you don't want to be buying a size 12 shoe knowing you're a size 10 in the foot.
Maybe you think you're going to grow into it. Socks, a lot of socks.
Yeah, my man's like in his 20s. Like, I don't know.
Over for his feet.
I don't think that was going to happen.
I feel you.
So speaking of why we were out of commission last week, we bought a business.
Not really. We bought three.
Yeah,
we bought three businesses last week.
Yeah, and that's a first for us.
Three in one day is definitely a first for us. So it was a big day for us.
And actually, it was four because we also funded another investment that we'll talk about in the future on the same exact day.
That is very true. But yes, we bought three businesses last week, and that's what had us tied up. There was a lot to do. There was a lot to transition. We're still transitioning. But I guess the key thing that we're factoring or we're focusing on today is in the land of business, in the land of the businesses that we tend to buy, we got these for very, very cheap.
Yeah, yeah. No, we bought... and I'll be, can I, are you cool if I?
I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it if you're cool with it.
So we bought three Zips dry cleaners in Indianapolis last week. And these units have been opened by another franchisee. It was a wife and husband who were running these businesses. And they weren't doing a good job, frankly.
Yeah, and also they just kind of decided to move on. They came from a different industry and realized that they wanted to go back to that industry that they were in. Here's the thing about dry cleaning. And I think a lot of you guys know that Alan and I, you know, we personally buy and build dry cleaners. We find it to be a really strong business model. But it's very difficult. It's not easy. It's not like you just open a dry cleaner and it's good to go. There's a lot of nuances. There's a lot of expensive equipment. There's a lot of vendor relationships. There's a lot of moving parts. And so if you are just I want to own a business owner, dry cleaning probably isn't for you. Not actually owning it. You should probably get into a passive investment. And so I think these owners just decided, this ain't really for us.
Yeah, facts. And they also, they were a hardworking couple. They gave it their all. It did not work out for them. When we had a chance to buy the business, you know, we originally said, look, we're not interested, you know, like, especially not at that price. Like, they built it for several million and wanted to sell it for several million. We looked at the business and said no.
Let's be clear on why we said no. When people price businesses, oftentimes they price it on a variety of factors. They might price it on how much they put into it.
Yeah.
They might price it on their sentimental value and attachment to it. But those aren't realistic valuations for what the business actually costs.
Yeah.
When Alan and I look at businesses, we price them based off of the profitability.
Yeah.
And we pay a multiple of the profit of the annual profitability. Mm-hmm. And so when people come to us with really large prices, we can tell that it's based on, again, they want to get their money back. All the money that they put in, they want out, which is completely fair. Or they really love the business. They put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into it, and they want to be paid for that also, which, again, is completely fair. It's just not realistic for entrepreneurs and investors like ourselves.
Yeah, no, because you need to get your money back. Like, you're not doing this for the vanity of owning a business.
Correct, but some people are.
You want a return. So, you know, a business will typically trade for anywhere from 3 to 5 times 1 year of annual profit. So if the business does $100,000 in profit, not revenue, profit is net income, it's after your expenses. So if a business does $100,000 in profit, you should pay between $300K and $500K for that business.
But I mean, it cost me $2 million to build this store.
I know, but if it costs you $2 million and the business makes $100K a year, it's worth $300K to $500K.
Now, here's the other thing that we think about, just so that you're aware. If somebody paid $2 million to build a business, and to Alan's point, maybe they make $100,000 a year. I'm going to say maybe they make $250,000 net profit a year. Our thinking is, if you've had this business for 10 years, you've already made $2.5 million. You've gotten your money back, plus another $500,000 on top of that.
And also, I don't care.
I really don't care. I hate to say it. But a person might say, wow, if a business is $2 million, y'all only offering $300,000 to $500,000. In our mind, we've expected that you've had the business long enough that it's been profitable for you already. And so what we're offering is just to take it off your hands and for you to be able to ride off into the sunset. Because oftentimes there's other value in someone buying your business, especially if the business is not doing so well. Getting off the hook for all these bills and rent. Mm-hmm. You might just want to be able to walk away clean without having to worry about filing bankruptcy or lawyers or lawsuits or anything like that. So that is a time where we can come in, and maybe we might not offer a lot of money, but there's a lot of value for you to be able to walk away.
Facts. Oh, absolutely. So yes. So if we buy a business for 3 to 5 times profit, it means we'll make our money back in 3 to 5 years. It means we'll make a 20 to 30% return on investment. Like, that's the sort of return you want if you're tying up your money in a private business. And there's also downside risk. Like, you mentioned some of the downside risk. So that's what we look at. And it doesn't matter so much what they paid, what they bought for. So, you know, so when this guy asked us to buy, we initially said no. We eventually said, look, if we're going to buy it, it's going to be a really low number. We don't want to disrespect you like that.
Based on profitability.
Yeah. And so if you wait until your profits are higher, we could, you know, give you a price closer to what you're asking for, but we're just going to pass because we don't want to disrespect you. He ended up coming back like, look, just humor me. Tell me what you'd pay. And we're like, all right, here's what we'd pay. And it wasn't humorous for him. Yeah.
It wasn't a humorous number.
And he ended up doing the deal. And it's because of some of those downside things. Like, if he didn't do the deal, he may have to close the business. He may have to, you know, pay all these landlords back.
But
and
also
bank
because
loans
he
back
he was
and,
ready to move on with his life. He had already walked away and kind of started his transition into doing other things. And he really wanted to be done with this.
Yeah. So in the end, it was a win-win. But again, we're talking today about fly or fly trap. So
was this deal a fly or a fly trap?
So I think it's fly.
Yeah.
I think it's fly.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, we're 1 week in. Yeah. But I believe 100% that this is fly. I believe that these businesses are going to do so well. Not only did we get it for a cheap price, essentially, right? In just arbitrary numbers, it's cheap. Again, for us, it was fair based on profitability. But I think it's fly. I think we're going to really kill these three dry cleaners in Indianapolis.
But here's why we think it's fly. We walked in and immediately saw what the issues were that we could correct.
Yeah.
The hours weren't the proper hours of operation. The pricing was not the proper pricing, meaning the price they charged to dry clean clothes wasn't the proper price. One of the big value propositions of Zips Dry Cleaners is same day service. They weren't doing same day service. And we talked to the employees and just saw that there wasn't a great culture in that business. And if you can fix those things in a model where you're already successful, like we've been successful in 5 other locations. So if we can fix those things, we think we can turn this into a fly business opportunity.
Yeah, because the thing about Zips Dry Cleaners, and this is not like a Zips ad, but that's what we're invested in, so that's what we can share about, is there's a value proposition. And you have to, if you're not sticking to the value proposition, there's no real reason to go to this particular dry cleaner. You can go to any dry cleaner, right? And so we've got to re-implement the actual value proposition of the brand. And then also we've got to implement the things that we stand on as business owners, which is always employee culture, you know, reputation, customer engagement.
Absolutely. So we looked at the market. So Indianapolis, in terms of demographics, is really strong. The incomes are right where we want them to be.
But let's keep it a buck. We didn't know a damn thing about Indianapolis before looking at these businesses. And that was one of our detractors in the beginning. Like, Who's trying to be in Indianapolis?
Yeah.
What do you know about Indianapolis?
But I will say it's a fine city.
Listen, after my first visit, I was like, now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's just for people who are like, y'all can't really like Indianapolis. Here's the thing. This is what I've learned so far.
Okay.
There's a really great food industry in Indianapolis. Like, the restaurants are really good. One of the best drinks I've ever had in my life is in Indianapolis.
That's saying a lot.
No, it's not. First of all, they're making.
You drink all the time.
I do not drink all the time.
You're drinking right now.
That's not true.
Wow.
But if you, have you guys ever heard of a champagne margarita?
Oh, is that just Hennessy straight up?
First of all, no. Okay, I'm not built like that. But in Indianapolis, in a particular restaurant that's in the same shopping center as one of our dry cleaners,
really,
they have a champagne margarita. I had one of these a year ago, and literally every place I went to. In all my other travels, I would ask for a champagne margarita, and they would look at me like I was on drugs.
Like, girl, what you talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. No one can pull it off, but only in Indy.
So it's a good city. But one thing that's good about us right now, it's the idea that we've had success in this business already. Like, we know what works, what doesn't work.
And we already have a strong team.
And then we have a team. And that really, really matters. Like, having people that we can put on the ground from day one to go in and work on retraining folks, getting the culture where it needs to be. Like, these are things that are in our favor. Now, only time's going to tell if this was fly or a fly trap. But I think we've done enough research. We have the experience to really feel very good about this investment.
And we had a year to really assess. We did a lot of research. We looked at the numbers over and over again. We visited the market more than one time. Like you said, we talked to the employees. This wasn't just a, ooh, that looks good, let's do it. Or, oh, we got the price down, that's great. It was a lot of research. It was a lot of thought and analysis that went into making this decision, which is why I think we feel so confident that it's fly.
Yeah. And we also negotiated the price because everything in business is negotiable. And, you know, the price they wanted, you know, was not the price we paid. And we came up with a price where we felt like we could make money. And it was a fair trade where the person could walk away with paying off a lot of their debts and landlords and things like that. So we hope it's a win-win for everyone, but we hope to come out on top.
You know who it wasn't a win-win for?
Who's that?
Our listeners, because all that work, we weren't able to tape last week.
Yeah. All right.
Well, so that's our bad.
But they get to benefit today from
yes,
the lessons.
Absolutely. And if you actually live in Indianapolis, hit up Zips Dry Cleaners. Literally, we own all of them. That are the only ones that are in the entire state we now own.
Yeah.
Which and we might change later on down the road.
Yeah, we might build some more.
We might
who knows?
Build some more.
You know, things,
show
you know,
us some love.
If the time is right, the wine is right.
No, no
the
wine.
Champagne margaritas are hitting.
If y'all act right and patronize, we'll open up some more. So we've got to tell about our fly traps.
Yeah.
We can't make it seem like we're all fly.
Yeah, it's not all fly over here.
So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
What's up, North Star family? This is Donnie Rose, and I'm excited to let y'all know about the Word Life Podcast, the latest podcast in the North Star Network that I am hosting. Each week on Word Life, I will be exploring the intersections of literary art, music, politics, and revolution, and unpacking the messaging, lyrics, and themes of poetry and music, both classic and contemporary, that function as the heartbeat, baseline, and bottom line for radical change. Be sure to check out episodes of Word Life, dropping every Thursday wherever you enjoy podcasts, and let us know your thoughts. Peace, creativity, and revolution.
So we've talked about the fly.
Yeah.
We got some fly traps, though.
Yeah.
Let's keep it a buck.
Straight up, because we want the listeners to benefit from our pitfalls as well as our successes.
But we also want our listeners to know that, like, it's not always a win.
Yeah.
We've had several losses, which I take as learning experiences. But let's talk about one of our big fly traps.
Yeah. And by the way, I got a fortune cookie in 2014 that changed my life.
Really? What did the fortune cookie say?
It said that failure is the tuition you pay for success.
Okay. Sure.
I've paid some tuition.
I've definitely paid Ivy League. Ivy yeah. League tuition over
Straight
here.
Straight up. All right, so the year is 2014.
Okay.
Okay, the irony of getting that fortune cookie that same year is crazy. But we had just opened our first gym in the Maryland area, in the DC area. And a few months in, we were just getting open. We get a call from another franchisee who has another location like 20 minutes away. And he's like, hey, I'm about to close my doors. Do you want to buy our equipment? And I'm like, no, we just opened our doors. We've got equipment, but if you want, I can come in and take a look at the business. If you're really thinking about closing, maybe I could buy it from you. Okay.
And we didn't know each other yet. I just want to put this on record. Alan was flying solo on this one.
I had not met Tiffany Hawkins yet, but pretty soon Tiffany owned this L just like me. Okay. So I went over, I looked at the business, I looked at the equipment, and I was feeling good. I was like, hey, we just opened one. We want to take over the market. You're about to close, so clearly I can offer a really, really low price. I offered my man $0.
And 0 cents.
He said yes.
If that ain't cheap, I don't know what to tell you. And let's just be clear, it costs almost $2 million to build this
business. $1.5 million to build the business.
And it wasn't like, you know, destitute and 20 or 30 years old.
Yeah, no, this was a 3-4-year-old gym, really good equipment.
About how many square feet?
It was 17,500
So this is like a LA fitness type facility with a smoothie bar.
Yeah.
Okay, with a group fitness studio.
Man, you're making it sound good.
I'm just saying, brand new.
I know. This is what a fly trap looks like.
This is what a fly trap looks like. Sexy. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Childcare room.
Yep. Fully staffed.
Fully staffed.
And so I offered
movie
zero.
Movie theater. What you know about a movie theater?
Yeah, it had a movie theater
in the gym. Mm. This is a fly trap.
Yeah. I offered zero. He said yes. Ultimately, we ended up paying about $100K because the landlord wanted to get paid on his back rent. And so we had to pay the landlord some back rent.
I'll pay $100K on something like that.
That's 10 cents on the dollar. That's less than 10 cents on the dollar. So we bought the business and it went horribly.
Here's the thing. It didn't go horribly immediately.
Yeah, not immediately. Like we actually did well in the beginning. And so here's the funny, it's the story of how me and Tiffany became business partners is that I bought this business. I came up with the game plan that, oh, all we've got to do here is spend some money on marketing, do a little refurbishment of the gym, and we're going to be printing money. We'll make our money back in a year or two. And this is just profit center. Like this is just going to be the win of all wins. And we bought the business. We spent the money. And it didn't get any better. In fact, it got worse. We were losing money every month. And ironically, I had known Tiffany a short period of time because we had worked together on some marketing and strategy for Momentum Advisors. And I said, hey, can you look at this business and come up with a marketing plan for me?
I said, sure. You know, this is what I do. I definitely do business. And so I could take a look at it. And so Alan hired me immediately. And probably less than 30 days in, after really assessing the business and taking a look and paying attention and spending some time, I said, yeah, this isn't going to work out, bro. Like, you can definitely let me go. You don't have to keep paying me because your issues are bigger than marketing. There's some internal foundational issues wrong with this business that need to be turned around. And so Alan said, whoa, don't leave so easily. What do we got to do to work together to fix some of those issues that you see? And that's essentially how we started becoming business partners.
Yeah. Yeah. You stayed on as a consultant and ultimately became an equity partner in the business. And we turned it around for a little bit. I can't lie.
We had
a good year.
We had a good run.
We were on our way.
New members regularly, really fresh staff. Mm-hmm. The gym was shiny and brand new. It was looking good. We were feeling confident. Like, you know, we are moving in the right direction. We're going to make some money here. And then
it just went south.
And it wasn't anything in particular, to be honest. Yeah. It wasn't COVID. Like, by the time COVID
hit, COVID killed the business in the end, but
it was dead. COVID was just stamping on a It was already in the coffin. COVID just put the lid on.
Yeah.
It was in the dirt for sure. But it wasn't for any particular reason. It wasn't like we did anything differently. It wasn't like the market shifted. It really honestly was not a great business to begin with.
Yeah, and that's a fact. And sometimes that's the fly trap, is that
it looked good though.
Yeah, it looks good, but it's not a good business. So what I learned in terms of the tuition that I paid for the success is that, number one, I think we were overconfident in our ability to turn a gym around, to run a gym, period, because we had just started investing in gyms the same year. Number two, the market for gyms is incredibly competitive.
Overly saturated.
And I don't think we fully appreciated that at the time.
Especially big box gyms. And that's really my honest perspective. I think when thinking about opening big box gyms, and that's like, again, LA Fitnesses, Retro Fitnesses, Planets, Crunch Fitness, with low cost, but a lot of space, I think that market's oversaturated. It's only but so many members. And those businesses require thousands and thousands of members. If you have 2,000 members in a Retro Fitness, it's not profitable yet. You need thousands and thousands of members to break even versus small niche concepts like Club Pilates and like these Mayweather gyms and these CrossFit studios. To me, there's a lot more opportunity to make money there because the overhead is a lot lower.
Well, we know that now.
Exactly.
Tiffany.
But we did not know that then.
No, we did not.
Facts.
So, and then the final thing is like, this just wasn't a business that was set up to do well in this market. You know, like this is, you talked about a bunch of brands, like Retro Fitness had 3 locations in the entire state. No one had heard of us.
And to be honest, this location wasn't that great to begin with. Not as far as the city, but like it was located behind in the back of a mall.
Yeah, it was, and the mall closed.
And the mall closed, right? So it wasn't like something you could see from the road. Like you had to know it was there.
Yeah, so... And bottom line,
but again, Alan, it was only $100,000.
Yeah, I know.
All we lost is $100,000.
That's not true.
And that's not true. Yeah. And that's what makes it the fly trap. It's not, we didn't lose the money that it cost for the business. We lost a lot more.
Yeah, because here's what you got to realize: the reason why the person was willing to sell for $0 is that he knew if he closed the business, he was going to owe a guarantee to the landlord. The rent in this place was $30,000 a month. That means 1 year of rent is $360,000. He was already backed up on the rent by at least 6 months. So he was already looking at $500,000 in additional losses from just the landlord alone.
But then you got members.
Yeah, he would have to pay refunds to the men. I mean, it was a lot. So he basically figured I'd cut my losses by selling even at $0. So basically, this is the L that we took, is that now when we had to close the business due to COVID, we had to pay back rent. We had to pay some of our guaranteed rent.
We had to pay legal fees because we definitely got sued.
We had to pay members their refunds. All together, like this business that we paid $100,000 for, we had another business partner that came involved, but there was probably $500,000 in losses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
that
was cash.
Cost us $100,000.
Yeah. Really cost us $600,000.
Easily, because it looked good. You know, again, it was a fly trap.
Yeah,
One thing I will say, and Alan, I don't know if you will fully agree with me, is like closing this gym was a big deal. It was a big L. But I did always see it as a learning opportunity. To be honest with you, we would not be the entrepreneurs or the business owners that we are today, especially in our other concepts, if it was not for everything we learned in this particular transaction.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, we learned how to manage staff a lot better. Like we've always had management roles at work, but it's something completely different to manage folks who make minimum wage, who work part-time, who, you know, you can't just throw money around at them and expect that they're going to perform. We learned to deal with every problem imaginable. Like that's our first time having a car ride through our business.
Now I want to repeat, that's the first time.
Yeah, it's happened to us. At least 3 or 4 times since then. Our first time dealing with sexual harassment of our employees, where a manager, you know, tried to grab the junk of another employee. We dealt with, remember there was a staff member who would be calling their assistant, but really it was their probation officer.
Yeah, yes.
That same staff member was pouring vodka in the smoothie machines.
Yeah.
So by the time we got to dry cleaning and we had an employee who was selling drugs behind the dry cleaner.
First of all, let's be clear. We had just opened. The first week of our opening of this particular dry cleaning, he was selling meth out of the back door of the dry cleaning.
Yeah. But we had already experienced so much.
Yeah, by this time,
so
there really wasn't much you could do that was going to shake us. We knew how to handle any situation. And it's funny because sometimes I tell my friends about the things that we deal with in our businesses. And I'm like, oh my God, what could you do? I wouldn't know what to do. I'm like, girl, don't sweat that. Like, we've seen plenty.
Yeah. That's a fact. So we've talked about business stuff, and not everyone's going to go out and buy a business tomorrow. I hope we laid out some good stories on what not to do and what to do.
And to just also understand that, like, you got to be mindful. You really have to do your research. Don't overbet on yourself. You know, do the analysis. Take stock of where you are and what you truly do understand. Do not just jump into things because it is a low cost, because it's extremely affordable to you, because the upfront price may be very, very different from the price you have to pay further down the line.
Absolutely. So now let's talk about stocks for a minute.
Okay.
Because again, there's a lot of pretty looking...
It's a lot of flies and fly traps.
Yeah, that's a fact. So I want to tell a quick story. This is a personal story that I have a friend who took a job at a company and he's like, hey, this company's going to be bomb. You should buy some stock. And shame on me. I should know better. Like, I know how to research stocks, but I took it on my man's merit.
That's your homeboy.
It's my guy. I didn't buy this for clients. I really just bought it for myself. And I did tell Tiffany, maybe you should consider buying
it. And I bought
some.
It as well.
Yeah. To be honest, Tiffany, I ain't know what the company did.
I still don't know.
And I bought the stock. I suggested Tiffany buy the stock. The stock has gone way down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tiffany's looking at me crazy. And I'm looking at myself crazy because I didn't even know what the company did. I know the name of it.
Yeah. I knew the ticker.
I know the sector. But it's a biotech company it's got some drug that I don't even know if it's approved.
You didn't do any research on.
And so quietly at the end of last year, I sold it at a loss.
Now here's my problem, because you were very loud to me when it was time to buy. I didn't find out till today that you sold. So something shady is going on here. And as you continue to tell the story, karma is a thing.
But.
Mm-hmm. So Alan sold last year. Didn't tell nobody.
Yeah. I quietly sold. Okay. I did what they call tax loss harvesting, mm-hmm. where you harvest a loss to be able to write the loss off on your tax return.
It's also called you played your friend, but go ahead.
Okay. So I get a text randomly from another friend this week. He's like, hey, I bought this stock and I'm up like 70% since I bought it. And I'm like, oh, I know that company. I own that company. And then I looked at my portfolio. I've sold the company.
But I did not, because Alan did not put me on. And now I'm back up again.
Yeah, straight up. And so for me, it was a fly trap. For Tiffany,
it was fly as hell.
It turned out to be a little bit fly. But the bottom line is, like, you got to do the research on these companies that are trading at a loss. Like, you've got to understand, why is the company trading at a low price right now? Is, like, what does the company do? What's going to be done to turn the company around? Like, what's the catalyst that's going to make this stock move? Because otherwise, you're just, like, gambling. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for failure. And I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than losing money and not understanding what the hell happened. And that's what happened with this particular stock. And we don't want to see you guys fall into that trap. So do the research.
Just want to just put on record, I just checked my portfolio for this particular stock. And it is, in fact, up.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you, Tiffany.
I was willing to ride the ride with you, but you got off and ain't tell nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't have good reasons for buying. And I took an L and I paid some more tuition. And I should know better. I want to tell the story of a piece of real estate that I bought in 2010, and it looked fly to me at the time, and it's still fly today, but to a lot of people, it was a fly trap. In fact, I had some family members involved in the transaction, and they said, nah, I want out. Like, this is a dog. So we bought this. It was basically a three-unit building. The bottom floor was a church. The top two floors are apartments, and my dad was close with the folks that owned the building, and we were able to buy at a really, really low price. Like, we paid $50,000 for this
building.
Yeah. And when we bought it, we didn't have this was one of our first real estate investments. We didn't have a contractor go in. We didn't understand all it would cost to kind of get the building up and running. We ended up having to put in another $100,000 to get the building where it needed to be. So we're now in for $150,000. And that's the point when my other family members are like, nah, this ain't gonna work, get me out. Things we had to do to that building would be like, we had to get rid of an oil heat situation. We had to put in gas heat, which cost a lot to convert. We found out that the oil tank had been leaking. We had to do environmental remediation. We had to do just a tremendous amount of work. And it cost us, again, $100,000 on a $50,000 investment. And somebody might look at that and say, oh, that's a trap. But so we make about $30,000 a year in income on this building. So even though we paid $150,000 by the time you counted all the additions, that's like a 20% return. And that's fly. And so this turned out to be a great situation. The one thing that I wish I had done differently at the beginning was just doing the research up front to know all the costs that will go into it. So it's crazy. So we paid $150,000 for the building. We're getting offers right now for $300,000 and $400,000.
Wow.
For this business.
There you go.
This building. And so it turned out to be fly. We've made our money back plus.
But
and we're getting crazy offers.
Even though it's fly, right? Because you've had this building for a couple of years. It wasn't easy.
No. Oh, gosh, no. Yo, I had I have so many stories to tell about this building, but the funniest story is like we had a property manager and he was old school. And when people didn't pay the rent, he liked to put the paws on them.
Okay.
So we were dealing with this tenant and my man put the paws on this tenant to throw him out the building, like physically, like I'm going to put my hands on you and throw you out, like how on the Fresh
Y'all
Prince of Bel-Air,
yeah.
How they used to throw jazz out the house.
Okay.
So yeah, he called the cops. We ended up in court and like, it was terrible. And so the property manager thought that I was responsible for his legal fees.
I mean, I would think the same thing too.
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
If I'm doing it on behalf of us, if I'm holding us down.
Yeah. I mean, all right. If I authorized you to put your hands on him, then yeah. So either way, he ended up stealing a bunch of rent because
Jesus. He
needed to cover his fees plus pain and suffering. That's one crazy story. Another story is like I had a tenant that same property manager found. And one day I go up to the building and she's gone. And like, I haven't been paid in 2 months. Property manager's gone. I had to go look at her file, figure out where she worked and go up to her job. She worked at a shady bar in Newark. And I had to go, hey, have you seen this woman with a photo? Have you seen? I felt like I was in Beverly Hills Cop or something like that. And so I've got a lot of crazy stories about what it took to make this building profitable, but it turned out to be a fly investment. It just, again, cost a lot more than any of us ever anticipated.
So even though it was fly, it wasn't necessarily easy.
Not at all. Not at all. So let's go to break. When we come back, we should talk about some advice, some things we've learned from our fly and fly trap situations.
All right, we'll be back. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. The pathway to freedom is leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com. To discover all the podcasts we have to offer, we have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
So, I mean, we've been fly, and we've been in some fly traps.
Sure have.
I think everybody has, though, and it doesn't have to pertain to businesses or even investments, probably relationships. We got some fly trap relationships out there.
She looks good, but that's all it is.
I'm not going to go down that road. But yeah, I mean, we all experience fly scenarios and also being fly trapped. And so that's kind of what we're sharing today. We are highlighting, you know, something that we've done recently that we think will be fly. Stick with us long enough and you'll find out.
Yeah.
And then also some fly traps that we've been in general. Even talking about relationships, we've got a fly trap that was kind of relationship and business investment based. You know, when we first got into dry cleaning, we had a major investor who was like, listen,
I got plenty of money.
I got plenty of money.
I believe in y'all.
All the money. I won't say anything. I'll let y'all do all the work. Mm-hmm. And I'll just sit back and collect the profits.
Yeah.
And things were smooth for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple of dry cleaners open. And then once we started making money.
Yeah. Lord help me.
All that, I'm going to just sit back and let y'all run the business, went haywire.
Yeah.
He started making very brash decisions around the business that were, I think, were ego-driven personally. He started pushing us out from the operations and access to the business. All of a sudden, we had to answer to him, even though we were all equity owners in the business. And I'll, you know, I'll tell you up front, I wanted to be out early. I recognized we were in a fly trap early and I wanted to be out. But Alan always has, he is a lot more patient than I am. I lack patience.
Why, thank you, Tiffany. Thank you for that. What, tell me more. What else?
Well, you don't want me to tell you more?
No, give me some more compliments.
You had too much patience on this particular situation.
It's fine.
We were eaten up in this fly trap. But eventually Alan realized that this wasn't going to work either. I had kind of distanced myself from the fly trap. And we had to make a decision. And the decision was, you buy us out or we buy you out.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
This can't continue the way that it is. And we had to come up with a lot of money. Lot of money to buy him out, which I'm going to be transparent. We're still paying.
Mm-hmm.
We're still paying on. Yep. But with all the drama, with all the money, I still think.
Turned out fly.
It turned out fly.
We bought him out. We raised some money from some investors. And with these investors, we set it up in a place where we've got control, so we're not in a position where we can get fly-trapped again.
Ever again. And it was also a learning experience for how we structure deals in the future.
Yeah.
We always will have control over our businesses moving forward.
That's a fact. And you just reminded me of another situation, another fly-trap that I was in. When I started Momentum, initially I took on an equity investor, and we had a 50-50 deal. And he put up all the money. I ran the business. And the same thing happened. When the business wasn't making any money, we were cool. The moment we started making profit, my man hit his head and started acting crazy. And I think there's a trend. Like, if things start to go well and you're a minority shareholder in a business, the majority person might start acting up.
So how do you, you know, how do you avoid that?
I think it's control. Like, if you're doing a deal where you've got an investor, you've got to set it up in a place where you have control over how that business runs. Facts.
Yeah.
And we've learned that. And, you know, every deal we've done since then, for the most part, we've got a controlling stake. And I think that matters. And we won't be fly trapped by that mistake. We'll make other mistakes.
Yeah, we'll definitely make other mistakes for sure. Because other fly trap I think of is pouring money into a business thinking that's going to solve all the problems.
Yeah.
Well, realistically, it's not enough money in the world. And it's other things. Like, I think we talked about earlier, it's employee culture, spending more time, just being more present, like thinking that you can just throw money at a situation, or thinking, like, if I could just make it look nice, just make it look snazzy, automatically
snazzy.
Customers will come.
Snazzy.
You know, that's how people talk, snazzy.
So within stocks, I can think of a fly trap. Like, look at Peloton.
Listen, I still think if we ride this ride.
Fine. But I'm saying there's somebody that bought Peloton for $100 that's salty right now. And as it went down to 80, they bought more. When it went to 60, they bought more. When it went to 40, they bought more. And again, I'm not saying that Peloton's going to go up or down, but I am saying that sometimes companies are fly traps.
Here's the thing, though, and this is not necessarily advice, but this is my opinion around this particular situation. I think part of the fly trap of Peloton is buying it when everybody was talking about it and then selling it when everybody was talking about it.
Yeah.
Right. And we have taught you regularly that being an investor is more than just riding the trends. It is a long-term play. I bought Peloton well before it was trendy. I'm still up in Peloton today. I am going to ride this ride out well after people stop talking about it. And honestly, I think if there's an acquisition at some point, or they finally get that Tread Plus fix from killing animals and babies, I think I'm going to be up even more. So, but it's more of the, how are you going to ride the ride? How are you going to show up in all of these scenarios? Because even with the scenario with your building, the scenario with us having a bad partner, there were points where it felt like a fly trap. And riding it out, it ended up becoming fly.
But I will say, Tiffany, you at least did the research on Peloton.
Word. Like, that's a fact.
You were a customer, still are. You knew the pitfalls in the business. Like, when the stock started to drop, you had a good understanding of why it was going down. And my big thing is, you know, you've got to do the research to understand what's going on in your stocks.
Very true.
Yeah. So let's switch gears and let's talk about this idea of doing research. So when it comes to stocks, I think any stock that you are looking into buying because the price is low, do you know what the company does? Do you know what it's going to take for that company to turn around?
Because y'all love just doing stuff because somebody else said it. You saw it on Instagram. Somebody mentioned it in a TikTok video. You don't know anything about the business. You don't know if it's real. You haven't looked up the ticker.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I remember when it, what was it? What was the big Robin Hood? GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
And people were calling it GameStock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but they were, you got to get you some GameStock. Everybody was just giving out advice left and right.
Same thing with Bitcoin. I remember reading an article. This lady was like, I want one of those big coins. Like, she hadn't done the research at all. So when you're looking at a stock, if it's way low, understand why is the price low? Like, what's going on? Like, if you can't make sense of it, then it may not make sense. That's when you're looking at stocks. What about when you're looking at a business? When you're looking at a business, ask yourself, am I being overconfident in my ability to turn this thing around?
Also ask yourself how long you can ride the ride if things are rocky. If you're buying a business with the thought that it's only going to be up from there and every day is going to be a sunny day and you're automatically going to be profitable, you shouldn't buy the business. So ask yourself up front, if things don't go well, how long can I stick this out?
Ask yourself if you're being realistic. You know, I find that sometimes when you've got your mindset on something, you become blinded to things that could possibly go wrong. And I am guilty of that.
Red flags.
Things are red flags and you're just blind to it. Like, you're kind of like a moth to a flame that gets burned by the fire.
I think I'm the partner that blows the fire out.
First of all, that was Janet Jackson.
I'm aware.
You just missed that.
I'm aware. I didn't miss it at all.
That's the way love goes.
I know that's the way, but that wasn't the way love went in some of these situations.
And then calculate the risks. You know what I'm saying? Like, with a business, you're never limited to the amount you put in. And I hate to say that.
That is very true.
There's always additional risk, whether it be
more money you have to put into the business,
a loan, whether it be a landlord that wants money. But again, in a business, like, sometimes you got to put good money after bad to kind of keep it alive. And do you have the good money?
That's very true. And one thing that we say to our clients regularly, we do have clients that we consult with to get them into entrepreneurship. We are very mindful of, we will only allow them to spend as much money as they'd be willing to lose.
Yeah, that's a fact. But we also help them to understand their key performance indicators of their business. Because, like, one of our clients who is in the gym business went through COVID, and COVID killed a lot of businesses. Like, COVID caused us to close 3 out of 5 of our gyms. We've seen many, many gyms across the country go bust. But one of our clients who's in a gym is doing great. And, you know, we coached them through that entire time. And we basically said, look, let's look at the bottom line key performance indicators to determine if this is worth continuing or not, or should we cut bait? And we helped them through a difficult time. We made some adjustments. We raised our prices. We increased our, you know, high touches on the clients. And it turned out to be great. So again, really doing that research, really looking at the drivers of that business really help you determine if you should cut bait or continue going. And then finally, if you're looking at real estate, things that you've got to ask yourself before you buy, like, what's wrong with the building? Like, why is this building being sold for $300K on a block where all the other buildings are going for $500K? Like, what's wrong with it? Like, Tiffany, you bought a home that was in that situation.
100%.
And it turned out quite fly.
Quite fly, for sure.
But definitely, you did the research. Like, you had a contractor come in.
Yeah. did the research, did the inspections. I knew the area very well, knew the neighborhood extremely well. I grew up hanging out in that neighborhood, knew other people that lived in that neighborhood. So it definitely turned out to be fly for me, but I also knew what I was getting into. Probably another person, though, could have purchased the same property and it would have been a fly trap. They might not have known. Maybe they didn't bring in a contractor. And they were like, mm-hmm. I'll only, you know, fix up a couple of things here and there. I had some major real life issues that I was aware of going in. There was still an oil tank. There was no gas line, you know, things like that. I had to have the city come out and dig up the yard to put in a gas line. Someone who's like, oh, I just got to worry about cosmetic changes. That might have been a fly trap for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other thing when I think about when it comes to real estate, and it's a mistake that I think people make often, is buying real estate based on where they would want to hang out. Or where they think is a cool place to be, instead of doing the numbers to see, are you going to be able to make money off of it, though?
Yeah, that's a fact. And the final two things are, ask yourself if you're prepared for the worst case scenario. Like, what is the worst case scenario? And like, can you live with that? You know, if it's a building and you bought it for a low price and you've got to put more money in, can you live with putting more money in? If it's a business, like what are all the costs of actually going out of business and can you live with that? If it's a stock, it could go to zero. Could you live with that? Finally, you've got to be diversified because anytime you're taking some risk, the biggest protection you have is not putting more money in than you can afford to lose on that investment. So by being diversified, by owning a number of different things, it just protects you against some of those fly traps because they're out there.
They're out there. So be mindful, do your research, keep your eyes open, and let us know if you're a fly or you're in a fly trap.
And be optimistic, too.
100%. We'll be back next week, unless we buy three more businesses. Then we might.
We'll definitely be back next week. if that's the case,
we'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.